Hello and welcome to the IDEMS podcast. I'm Lily Clements, a data scientist, and I'm here with David Stern, a founding director of IDEMS. Hi, David.
Hi, Lily. I'm looking forward to another discussion. Are we still in West Africa?
Yes, well, I'm physically in East Africa still, but the discussion is in West Africa.
Great. I look forward to it.
So as part of the research method support work for the 20-year anniversary, another, I guess, case study or another story of work over the last 20 years. Have you been working in it this entire time?
No, I've only been involved for just over a decade. It's now, I think, 12 years I've been involved. But this work has been going on, and Roger was actually the person who instigated a lot of this work 20 years ago. He was supporting the research methods originally, and then he stepped back when he retired. As you know, his retirement did not quite go according to plan, but he did successfully step back from this work. And after a gap of a few years, I stepped in and have been now involved for the last 12 years.
I was going to say his retirement's not going too well, considering he's in East Africa with me right now.
And working pretty hard, I guess.
And working pretty hard, yes. Up late and up early, somehow.
But his retirement basically means that he does have an afternoon siesta. That's the retirement concession.
Okay, well, yeah. Anyway, interesting to know a bit more of the history. But I thought today we could discuss about multi-level data.
Absolutely. Pretty much every project ends up having multi-level data as soon as they have anything more than a student assignment. And it's interesting that almost all the really interesting data sets come with these elements of, well, we have plot-level data, and a lot is happening at the plot level. We have farm-level data, and there's an increasing number of projects that are recognizing that actually we can't understand the plot without understanding the farm. And of course, you can't really understand the farm unless you understand how the farm fits into its village and what the nature of that village. And of course, how that fits into the region and so on. So there's always data at multiple levels. It's just a question of whether a project or a research study decides to collect it or not.
Nice. Well, that's a nice example. So you've given three levels there of data: the plot, the farm, and the village, where the plot level is your physical plot of your crop that you're planting and seeing how your crop does and the kind of variability between one plot to another. And then when we come to farm, I assume that that's more about, you know, you might have lots of farmers who have different farms, and your farms each contain plots. So you're in your second level.
And the nature of your farm might be, do you have manpower or do you have animals? Now, if you have more manpower, then maybe you can do weeding. If you have less manpower, then maybe weeding isn't a priority. Maybe you need a cover crop so you don't need to weed. That question of whether you're more likely to have manpower or not, or can you fertilize using organic manure? Well, that might depend on whether you have animals or not.
Sure. Okay. And so Roger and I have previously done a podcast where we've discussed termite mounds. Now, is that a farm level or a plot level?
Very interesting question. I still remember one of my early experiences with actually going out into the field and the small plots. And when you have a termite mound in a plot, it totally disrupts the plot. So you cannot get good data from that plot because the termite mound totally changes, both positively and negatively. This is what's so interesting. It's not as simple as saying you've got a termite mound, therefore your plot is much worse, because the termites are really good at decomposing organic matter. And so actually they can be creating fertility in your plot, as well as taking up space and eating, if you don't have enough organic matter around, eating your plants. So they can have a positive and or a negative effect on your plot. And so they're very much at that plot level. And so one of the things that we did, you know, you sometimes can't avoid termite mounds in that part of the world, but what you can do is have big enough plots that the effect of the termite mound isn't visible in your end data. That if you have a big enough plot, then it's a negligible effect compared to the effect of the treatment. One of the things that we did very successfully with one project was to increase the plot size, and that then basically removed that plot level variability. And actually, this project's a really interesting one, because when we looked at their data, they had thousands of farmers, and they took this bigger plot size and they were doing the comparisons. But what was really interesting is they didn't then at that point have much farm level data. They took a very simple farmer typology. But what was really interesting was they had farmer organization level data. So the farmers that they had and the data they had from the plots was at the farmer organization level. And that was fascinating, because actually that was the right level to have data. Some of the farmer organizations were women's groups. Others were, if you want, seeds groups, semi-commercial groups. And you could tell this because all the farmers, there seemed to be much more homogeneity within these farmer organization groups than there were even within other characteristics. In some cases, I still remember seeing this, where we had this mess of data, we organized it by farmer group, and suddenly you had farmer groups where they were yielding 200 to 300 kilograms per hectare, and other farmer groups where they were yielding 1,700, almost 10 times more. Sorry, it's per acre, not per hectare, sorry. This is for millet. And so this is still not huge yields compared to yields you could be getting, where you could get up to 6 tons per hectare for maize in good condition. But this is the realities of Niger. 1.7 tons of millet from an acre, these are good yields in those contexts, whereas 200 kilograms was not great yields. And so what was really interesting is it was the farmer group level data which was the right differentiator. And then we could understand the nature of those farmers' groups to explain why women's groups who didn't have access to good fields, who didn't have access to inputs, and so on, whereas in another group, this was commercial millet farmers who were then aiming to sell theirs on the market and who were fertilizing their fields and had access to the right land and so on. So by understanding the nature of the groups, we were able to differentiate really what was happening with individual farmers. And of course, you've got the occasional farmer who was an outlier in their group, but analyzing the farmer group level was really important in that particular case.
Nice. Okay. So the kind of farmer organization level, that level of data really helped to explain a lot of what was happening at the plot level.
Exactly. We didn't need farmer level data because the information that was important was actually captured at the farmer group level. And so the farmer level data that was important was essentially that they belonged to this group.
Interesting. Nice.
So that explained a lot of the plot level variability. When I say explained, I should be saying accounted for, of course. Peter Diggle would be telling me off. You can never explain variability. You can account for it.
Yeah. Yes. I still accidentally say explained or write explained, and I catch myself or I catch Peter in my head. And so then another level kind of above that farm level or farmer organization level is the village level.
Well, interestingly, farm organization and village, you might have some farmer groups or organizations that cut across multiple villages, and others where you might have multiple farmer organizations in the same village. And so what's interesting is that the village level may or may not be the right level to take. And this is where multi-level data is so interesting. So you could consider, let's say, village level instead of farmer organization level. In this particular case, you would have had worse information, because although you might have captured it, the level which was actually important was captured by the farmer organization, because that groups, in many cases, farmers who are similar together, who have similar reasons. You might have a farmer organization which cuts across multiple villages, but is about selling your millet. They're a cooperative selling their millet. They put together their millet, they grow a lot of it, and they then sell it and get group prices. And they're very different from a women's group within a village that is just neighbours helping each other to manage their household fields to feed their families. That's a very different type of farmer organisation. And that is the key information, more even than the village itself, where you probably have similar people in both villages, where you have some people who are doing commercial farming and some people who are doing household farming for their own consumption.
Right. So then in this sort of example then of your farmer organisations, was it just that the farmer organisation level data was there, or was that something that was chosen to capture?
What was interesting, of course, is that data was an integral part of the farmer data, because this was data that the Farmer Federation held. And so understanding which farmer organizations you were in was an important part of the data they naturally held. And this is data that would often be missed by a research organization. If a researcher had gone in to just collect data on their own, they might not have thought to use that structured data. And therefore, they might not have thought to have that characterization, which would help them to differentiate between farmers in that way. And so it's an example of where how you collect the data means you have access to data at different levels, which can help when you then want to account for the variability in your data. And as I say, in this particular case, it was almost a tenfold difference in yield.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that is quite a difference, which if you're just looking at your plot data, it will be really hard to explain. Account.
Yes, exactly. And this is where the nature of how you go about this, do you have data from the farmers at the right level and so on? This is really important.
And at what point do you stop going out a level? So, okay, farmer organizations level, but beyond that, could you then go to region?
Within region, the question is, do you want the physical region, which is an administrative unit, or do you want the agroecological zone? You know, these studies are done across north-south gradient, where the further south you go in that context, the higher the yield. The further north you go, the less the yield. I love the graph of this that colleagues from that project presented a while back when we were in Kenya. And just to put things in perspective, across Kenya, a low rainfall would be maybe 1,000 millimetres a year in certain areas. And you'd get areas which get much, much more than that, and a few areas that get less. So in the West African context, in Niger, the farmers who were presenting this were saying, well, at the north, we have our low rainfall, and at the south, we have our high rainfall. And at the north, it's less than 200 millimetres a year. And at the south, we get good rainfall, we get up to 450. And you could see the Kenyans who knew what they were talking about suddenly taking a step back. You don't grow anything with 450 millimetres of rain in Kenya, pretty much. This is their good rainfall, and this is where you get the good yields in Niger. And yet it is such an arid region. It's really tough there. And they still grow, even in regions where they get 200 or less a year, which is incredible.
Wow, yeah. That is pretty incredible.
So that question of, again, are you looking at that north-south gradient? But that is captured by some of the region. So what is it that you actually want to capture? Is it the administrative region as a different level? Or is it some classification of this north-south gradient, the agroecological zone, for example? So these are questions that when you're looking at the data of different levels, if you know which agroecological zone you're in and the nature and the average rainfall for that agroecological zone, that could be a sensible variable to include in your analysis, which is, again, data at a different level. Now, of course, this can be stored down at the farmer level by what agroecological zone are you in. But then actually the nature of that agroecological zone and data on it, that's naturally data at another level. So thinking about what are the levels, what are the natural levels? And as I say, just like we had a choice between village and farmer group, where one was better than the other in this context. Your farmer group was better at accounting for variability than your village. Both could have been good. Certain villages have higher fertility than others, and maybe are wealthier than others, have better access to animals, road inputs. So you could get a village effect. But probably you're going to get better information from a farmer group variable, which is roughly the same level as village. And similarly, at the region level, you might get better information from your agroecological zone level rather than your region, your administrative region. And this is when you're thinking about multi-level data. What are the levels and where are you wanting to capture information? These are really, really interesting and difficult questions. But exactly the sort of things which improve research, especially on these large-scale studies.
Yeah, so there's a lot more depth to it. I guess my usual way of thinking of multi-level data is, okay, you have classrooms, you have schools, and then you have counties or regions. And that seems a lot more clear-cut where those lie, where those levels lie. Whereas actually, it didn't occur to me before in agriculture how complicated it can be.
Absolutely. The nice way of thinking about levels is the way I originally started to describe it. Oh, there's an obvious set of levels you can have. But it doesn't work quite as simply as that. The natural way of actually thinking, what are the right levels which are affecting the results that you're observing, the thing that you're studying, is actually a rather different question. In the example you just gave of classrooms, schools, school districts, there is a reason why each of those might affect student performance. And so having data at each of those levels makes perfect sense. There can be an effect, a teacher level effect at a classroom level. That might be something where your teacher level effect might be interesting because that might be between classroom and school level. You might have multiple teachers which have multiple classes. So you do get some of that complexity coming in, even in the educational example.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Nice.
But maybe let's wrap this up with the simple statement that it really amazes me that so much research still doesn't really think about data as being multi-level from the outset. It thinks of a study very much by its raw units. What are you studying? As opposed to recognizing that, particularly when you go out into a farming community, you should be thinking about the levels within your data that will help you account for variability. And I think this comes a lot from surveys. People are much better at doing this with surveys than they are with large-scale experiments. And it's where survey methods really come in. You often stratify your sample because you're aware of these multi-level effects. And you try to think, what are the things you want to stratify by? Because you're wanting to be careful about the different effects that are coming in at different levels.
Yeah, very interesting. And I guess, but then why in a survey do you think that it's more thought of than in an experiment? We spoke before about in a survey having details on your enumerator, because that can help account for variability.
But I think that the key point in surveys have often been thought about trying to represent populations. This is what you're trying to do within a survey. Whereas experiments, traditionally, you've tried to remove all this excess variability. Doing large-scale experimentation is actually relatively new. A lot of the old experimental methods are all about removing that excess variability before you do your experiment and then working in lab or controlled conditions. Whereas the survey was about representing populations, so they had to deal with this. So the fact that we're now doing more experimental work in contexts where we have larger sample sizes, we're within a population, and we're doing experimentation within a population, that's meaning that these issues are coming to a head, and we're needing to, just like with surveys, to think about the multi-level effects much more.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, thank you very much for this discussion.
No, thank you. It's another case where The experiences in the West African community have been so rich and enriching. As a statistics educator, these examples are so beautiful to draw out. They're so relevant in many different contexts.
Definitely. No, definitely. And really make you think a lot as well. Or realize things such as, the multi-level data isn't as clear-cut.
As one might want.
As one might want. Well, the levels within multi-level data.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.